Man, I tell you, my first actual kind of long range rifle that I tried to compete with was my LMT MWS 308. It was a 20-inch barrel that I was running back then. That was before they launched their 6.5 barrel. So I had, I don't know how many, probably a couple thousand rounds of 308 in competition and training and everything. Then LMT released the 6.5 Creedmoor barrel. I'm guessing this may be like 2013, 2014 timeframe. That was like unbelievable.
I'm sure.
I remember my first rounds through a 6.5 Creedmoor.
You're like, what is this?
Oh, it was awesome. I remember like changing barrel out, throw these rounds in, like no recoil. You know, I don't remember, maybe 9 mils to 1,000 yards instead of 12.
Right.
I'm like, this is unbelievable. And then we got a lot more competitive.
Right.
And it was,
oh, yeah.
That was, it's kind of funny. I bet that was about 10 years ago. Very life-changing.
Oh, yeah.
And I still kind of enjoy that. I love to shoot the 308 to kind of, I don't know, I think
nostalgia.
To me.
You're nostalgic.
Little nostalgia, yeah. But I do believe there is some value in shooting that round to long range. And then when you transition over to your 6.5, your 6s, the more flatter, fun rounds,
yeah,
you understand that concept.
I'm never going to fucking recommend a 308.
Well, we're also dealing with the people who are still trapped in this like mindset of like energy and, you know, from a specific hunting standpoint, which the energy transfer on target. And so it's like a special kind of like, and I can't say the word.
I really don't want to say this on live. I really don't hate the 308 as much as I put off.
Yeah.
I mean, we make ammo for it. I just really like shitting on it.
Yeah.
Especially them really lightweight bullets.
Exactly.
No, if I was going out and buying my first long range rifle right now, it would not be 308.
Right.
Yeah.
What sucks is a lot of that cheap ammo is drying up these days.
What would?
Yeah.
If you were going out right now, you're like, wow, you sold me. I'm going to get in long range shooting. What caliber would you choose?
Rifle? I get this question all the time. My answer is 100% a 6.5 Creedmoor Ruger Precision rifle.
Yeah, I can get behind that. We have a couple Ruger Precisions, and they are fantastic shooting rifles.
Yep.
Right. What optic?
Optic?
Ooh.
That's a good question. That's a good question. So if you're getting into long-range shooting, I would say don't go out and blow your budget out of the water, but you definitely want to invest in a nice optic. So I would say, let me think about this. I'm also a fan of buying used. So right. I buy used online all the time. Just be careful with the deal that you're doing.
Yes.
Man, so this is pretty wild. Arkin actually sent me a scope, an EP5. I can't quote price because I'm not 100%, but I want to say it's about a $500 to $600 optic for a 5 to 25. To me, that is a very impressive piece of glass for the money and would make you will make hits at distance. I've showed it in many of my videos.
Right.
I believe that's a very nice entry-level optic. There's other ones that I don't really have personal experience with. I know Vortex has some great budget-friendly optics. Right. I've used the higher-end Ride-Ons that are like a 7 Conquer series. I want to say they're mid 1,000 range. I believe that's a very nice scope for the money if you've got the money to spend. And then, you know, certainly the higher end stuff would be better, but probably likely not where you'd be starting out. So
right.
Yeah. What optical range are you looking at? You're out to 1,000
for like a new shooter.
Yeah, for like a new shooter.
I would say you can get a nice piece of glass for $1,000.
Yeah.
1,000 to 1,200.
3-day. 3-day 18. 5-25, 2-10, like where you landed down on power,
I would say
zoom ratio.
Depends on the kind of shooting you're doing. Myself, I like a 3-18, 4,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into maybe the small game thing, you might want a little bit more. But for the shooting I do, which is again more practical targets, today we were shooting a 10-inch plate at 1,000 yards. 18 power was fine for that. So I would say 3-18 is very.
I typically. Is for long range shit, I push everybody towards 3-18. Yep. Now, an argument could be had that like a 5-20. Typically, what you end up getting is once you brush off into 5-25 territory, you're talking about a overly much larger optic.
Yep, very big.
I'm gonna just see more mirage.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was about to say. Like, there is an argument. There are times to where like we're gonna keep our gear lightweight as possible. If somebody has a 5-25, typically I wouldn't even carry a goddamn spotting scope.
Yep.
Now, whether, depending on the time of day, whether you're actually going to get to use that 25X if you actually need a little bit more magnification. But typically speaking, due to Mirage, 3-18 is going to, in my opinion, it's going to take the cake. I like it. There's a few scopes out there, 2 to 15 range. I really like that range, a 2 to 15. 2 to 10s, I almost fucking shoot them out long range all day long. But like if a practical hunting scenario, like 2 to 10, I'm going to stay within like 610, something like that.
Yeah, I have a couple of 5 to 25s. And they're very nice scopes. Mm-hmm. But for most of the shooting I do, typically I'm in the 15 to maybe 20 power if I'm pushing out pretty far.
Yeah.
But the only time I really use max magnification is like 100-yard groups.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I use, 100%. When I'm shooting, I'm trying to shoot tiny groups, I'll grab the highest magnification shit I got.
Yep.
But as far as long range,
I like the field of view. You know, you think about...
Oh, he said field of view, John.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a key...
It's a point of contention with me and LPBO, so I'll just...
Gotcha.
Joke.
No, so I like to be able to see more of the target area.
Right.
When I'm shooting.
Right.
It helps with spotting misses.
Yes. What is your current favorite long range optic?
My favorite would be my Nightfor 7-35.
But with the trimmer reticle.
Trimmer 3. Yep. Love it.
John, what did you expect? He's a 308 shooter.
Love it. Yeah,
you don't find the trimmer to be just a bit busy?
I did initially, and it took me years to try one.
So you actually do enjoy like all the shit going on?
Oh yeah. Once you spend some time behind it and you kind of get a feel for what's going on.
Wait, it's the US SOCOM chosen reticle.
I'm a fan. So the cool thing, you think about the reason I went to the trimmer 3 actually is when I got my clip-on night vision.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I went out and shot night vision, I realized I couldn't see my turrets.
Right.
And so I had to like get a light. I'm like, well, that's kind of a pain. So why don't I just learn to hold over my reticle? I Googled around, found this, said, oh, it's got some cool features in it. Found one used and bought it. And the more I used it.
So many things happen there.
The more so really the only things I'm using. So I love the like 2/10 hash marks.
Yes.
Love the 2/10. And then I love the center dot. So for shooting my groups.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also use the wind dots.
Right.
I think the wind dots are cool. The rest of the stuff, like, I don't pay attention to it.
You can do without.
Yeah. So I don't even, like, I think it's ranging deals that are there above the reticle, the kind of like.
Right, the stadia.
To the left and right. So those, I actually don't know what those do. So, like, see how there's, like, the little kind of triangle.
I'm pretty sure.
No one knows what it does. It's just provocative.
Yeah.
I did. So, like, when I learned to shoot the trimmer, I made some mistakes. So on the, I can't see it on your screen there. But there are mile an hour markers for like a moving target, and they're labeled like 2, 4, 6. For some reason, I thought that was like mil count.
Oh.
Versus that was not my actual.
You try the top right here, top.
Yes.
One, yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking at that, and I'm getting 0 to 100. I'm like, oh, 2 mils. Spin it over, and that was not the right call.
Right.
So after I put some time on the reticle, I'm a fan, and now I prefer that style reticle.
Interesting.
Yep.
Now, are you like a super optics nerd? Do you try all kinds of shit? Are you just kind of, I got these things, I kind of like them? Like,
I would say scopes.
How far have you went down this road?
Scopes are my favorite thing to buy and sell and trade. I love trying scopes.
What are your thoughts on Mark V? Have you tried many Mark V's? Do you like Mark V's?
Never owned a Mark V, but I've shot the 3-18.
Mm-hmm.
I've never shot the like 5-25.
So my current favorite reticle out there is the PR2 mil. From Leopold.
Oh, okay, I haven't shot that.
If you can, it's to me, and there. I mean, there obviously could be some reticles out there that I'm missing out on. Actually, I have a well recognized brand optic. They basically took a mil reticle and kind of combined it for a hunting style reticle.
Okay,
it doesn't have enough holdovers for like more target shooting.
Yeah, so that's actually quite similar.
Yes, it's just less. It takes out a lot of shit that I probably would never use.
That's very similar, though, to like the Arkin reticle as well as the Ride-On.
Oh, man. Shooting. A lot of them nowadays are kind of falling into like.
I tell you what, though.
A groove. Like, I mean.
So now that I've shot the Trimmer 3 for a couple of years, I use the wind dots. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for me. You know, the wind dots, they're roughly 4 mile an hour dots. I know you can calibrate them, but they're close enough to 4. So in my mind, I think about like, oh, that's about an 8 mile an hour wind. Let me try that dot. and see what happens.
Right.
So when I shoot a reticle like that that doesn't have the wind dots, then I'm like,
Right. Does not compute.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's so as it pertains to long range shooting and everything else, you catch that. Like, I've sit and watched a couple matches here and there because there for a while I was like, I'm going to get into this, but I realized that my OCD time and everything else, there's no fucking way that I could do that unless that's all I was going to do.
Not in a match, no.
As far as like, I'm just saying like,
oh, to go in
pure ass shooting, like, because I would want to practice what I felt would be an adequate amount and everything else. Like, there's just no way I could do that. But as far as like sitting in and listening to matches, there's two different mindsets that I witnessed at a couple matches I've been to. Some people speak in miles per hour. Some people speak in mils or MOA, which I don't know what weirdo out there speaking of MOA, but whatever.
Right.
Okay. So from a hunting standpoint, and there is a great argument for the simplicity of running an MOA type scope for judging animals on the hoof as far as antlers and everything else, yep, because of MOA. Like, this is the system we were raised on, like American. Like, I can take an MOA scope, say I'm at 800 yards. I know MOA, 800 yards, 8 inches.
Yep.
I can quickly do, very easily, quickly.
Sounds like the kind of thinking that would put a man on the moon. Which happened after 308 was developed, by the way.
Dude, that's awesome.
I can quickly do that math much quicker than I can, like, any kind of conversions from mil and all that kind of bullshit. From a hunting standpoint. Now, 100% I'm grabbing mil, like, every day of the week. Just, again, because of simplicity of reticles and also remembering things, such as, like, if my... whatever, something goes down, I don't have my data. If I have a range, I'm going to, with most modern cartridges, I'm going to go with the minus two thing.
I mean, yep.
300 yards, minus two is 1 mil.
Yep.
Fucking send. Like,
yep, you'll be in the ballpark.
Simplicity. I like simplicity of the numbers. That's, people ask me, like, what makes you choose mil over MOA? It's like, it's a smaller number.
Yes, 100%.
When I write it down on a cheat sheet,
yep,
it's a smaller number.
100%.
There's no, like, I'm not going to get into like, this is actually a little bit more precise of a measurement, MOA. Actually, I don't care.
Yep. No, I'm the exact same way. I'd rather remember, you know, 10 mils versus, what is that, 36?
32, whatever. Like, are we shooting a 308? It's a 47.
You know, the other thing about mils, this is a concept that I kind of learned fairly recently, is like the whole speed drop thing,
mm-hmm,
where, you know, you get your speed up number and you range the target at 500 yards, you hold 5 mils.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mil thing. That's not an MOA thing. So
right.
That's another reason that I prefer mils now.
Right.
So.
I don't know. See, I really like simplistic scopes.
Mm-hmm.
I love Christmas tree style reticles, but simplistic ones. Because, again, I'm also coming at it from a much different position than you. Like, I look at things from, obviously, I'm going to train with this a lot, but this is really for hunting. So having a cleaner reticle is really where I like to live. But also, I like holdovers because, again, hunting situation. If it's within sub, like, 600 yards, I'm not going to fucking dial. If I have the correct Christmas tree style reticle, I know that's, like, the easiest term to call it, I'm just going to hold. And having an adequate amount of information within that reticle is going to allow me to make those quick shots when I need to, especially from coyote hunting perspective, because that happens much faster usually. But I don't know.
We
live
in
a great time for equipment.
Oh, man. These reticles have come so far.
Yeah.
You know, in just a few years. I will say, in one of my recent videos, I shot my Night Force with a Tremor 3 beside the Arkin with their style Christmas tree reticle.
Mm-hmm.
While I prefer shooting with the Tremor 3, the Arkin was easier to spot my impacts because it was a much cleaner reticle. Mm-hmm. So from an impact spotting perspective, yeah, the cleaner reticle had value.
See, I want a mil reticle, Christmas tree, obviously. I want my big hashes, obviously, on one mil or dots, whatever. You know, I like my little center aiming to be a very, very fine, minute dot for when I want to really test my groups and everything else. I want my wind holds on the main steady, I guess, is what you'd call it. Steady would be the correct phrase.
Why is it called a Christmas tree? Why, like, so why specifically Christmas? Why
can't it be a tree? I don't know.
I don't
know.
An evergreen style. Yeah.
But I want a reticle. To me, there's no reason that, especially like for PRS shooters, they're not very precise shooters. There's no reason to have anything more than 0.5 mil hashes.
Agreed.
Just bracket the fucking win on the fucking target. Like,
I agree with that.
Keep it clean. That way you can spot misses. Because like this is a game where it's usually timed. I don't know of any that aren't timed.
Mm-hmm.
It's timed. You're not always going to make the best decision on win calls. You're shooting primarily calibers that are going to defeat the wind rather well. 0.5 is fine. Bracket the fucking wind. Send it and be able to see, have more area to see your impact. Because yes. Fucking send it and miss and just put it on target.
I shot a local precision rifle match a couple of weekends ago, and I was shooting a scope that had 0.2. It wasn't a Tremor 3, but it had 0.2 wind hash marks. And I was holding, I want to say 0.6 mils of windage. And I actually found myself more confused at that point by the 0.2s
yes.
than in my normal like target shooting.
I will say the Vortex's EBR 7C mil reticle, it is in 2/10, but they highlight the point fives. And basically I've gotten yes. so used to running that reticle that I've kind of like you with the trimmer and all the busy other bullshit going on. I've learned to just basically, unless like if I'm trying to shoot my tiny targets at 600 and beyond, I'll start paying attention to 2/10. But a hunting scenario or faster scenarios, I just focus on the point fives.
Yep.
And I bracket the fucking wind. Like favor left edge with the point five and fucking send it. If it's actually 0.6, I'm still gonna land on target.
Yep.
And, you know, like I said, like one of my favorite current reticles, it doesn't have, in my opinion, it doesn't have enough of holdovers. It only goes because it's like a milling hunting style reticle. So it has down to 3 or 4 mils in your Christmas tree. So it's not overly busy.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a very simplistic reticle. And I actually really enjoy that. And I think it might be in 0.25 mil graduations or 0.5. I don't remember which one it is. It's less busy, essentially. Like, I remember fucking Bushnell kind of tried to reinvent themselves on their lower-end budget scopes, and they came out with the Engage lines. Yes, it was Engage. Some of their scopes were really good from a hunting standpoint. There was a 3-12, and it was MOA, but it was also... it was so fucking busy with lines. you could barely... Like, it was worse than the Tremor. So, I don't know.
What percentage of shooters, if you went to a range and you asked them to explain their reticle, do you think could accurately depict like 50% of it?
That's a good question.
I'm going to say
I'm looking at all these charts and I'm just like...
Not very
many. You got all this shit going on. Like, I'm just...
Not very many.
Most people probably, I'm guessing, know like... Maybe like right here and then like some of the lines on the windage.
I'm going to go with not very many.
Well, I think about some of the comments I've received on my videos and through my Instagram. That question's not even just around the reticle, but around using their long range scope. You know, I can think of a couple comments now where folks are, they would comment in and say, hey, I'm shooting at 300 yards. I dialed to the 3 on my scope and I'm not even close to the target.
Nailed
Hell
it.
Yeah.
But
isn't it crazy though? Think about this. In 15 years from now, the way you're thinking about it's going to be completely inversed because it is going to be.
Right. I guarantee you,
15 years from now, that'll be standard.
I guarantee you, we're going to go again as technology evolves into the optics. It's going to turn into this BDC. I feel like it's going to turn into all BDC system. Like it's probably going to be pretty similar. We're probably going to see a point where it's pretty similar to the. Have you looked at any of the early Revic scopes that Ballistics program is within the turrets?
No way.
So you range and you start dialing. And that's when it starts doing the math.
No way.
And inside the optic, I'll show you one. I got a couple of them.
Wow.
Inside the optic, there's a HUD inside the reticle. And as you're dialing, you're watching the numbers. And basically, it's a BDC system.
Wow.
So it's really cool, but it's also not like the early versions weren't that great. I'm sure there's probably like 5 million updates for it, and I haven't turned on in years. I guarantee you at some point we're gonna move more the BDC direction as far as turrets go and everything. Because like ballistic solvers are going to get smaller. Like the technology is going to get smaller and smaller. And we're going to see it transfer into the the unit itself, and like at some point, like probably nobody's gonna know. Like,
yeah, I'm on board with it.
There's probably not gonna be any MOA or MIL. It's gonna be a like a BDC optical zoom ratio. Like, what does SIG call their?
I'm down with it.
Even though SIG Easy Six and like the BDX system scopes, they're second focal plane, but because they have the technology in it, they call it like a
hybrid.
Something they call it a electronic focal plane or something.
Like infinite focal plane or something.
Wow! It really, from a hunting standpoint, like that's probably what you're going to go to is like, it's again, it's all BDC driven and like basically as you zoom it, it's a second focal plane. The reticle doesn't move.
It just compensates for whatever.
But the dots, your holdover dots, will travel with it. So they call it like a electric. Optical zoom instead of a, it's not they said it's not a first focal plane or second focal plane, it's electronic focal plane or some shit like that. I don't remember, but I guarantee you, like,
I'm down with it
with
a digital focal plane.
That's what it is. With the way technology is heading, is like we're probably heading towards straight up range finders on board the optic, and you don't have to know shit, it just like gives you holdover. Yep. It's like more BDC style way. And the funniest part, okay. So thinking back to my
time. Don't take the soul out of it.
Thinking back to my time. I don't know. I'm about it. Like, I'm all about new technology.
But at what point, like, it's cool now because it's finicky, right? You're like, oh, like, when this works, this is awesome. But, like, one day when it's just going to work perfectly every time.
We'll just start shooting way further.
Like, yeah, that's exactly. That's what happens.
We're going to push the fucking limits. We're going to be... Did you hear about so-and-so? He shot 8,000 yards today. Yeah. Back when... The funniest part about all this shit is, back when I first started getting, I'm going to say heavy into long-range shooting, really exploring the topic, trying to learn stuff about it, is fucking people just shit all over in BDC fucking anything. If you had a BDC reticle, you're trash. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. If you had a
looks like the loopholed M3 turret.
Yes. If you had a gun works, you weren't a real long range shooter because it's BDC. It's
yeah, like, not
those BDC reticles ain't worth a shit. They're not.
Well, I mean, isn't all. I mean technically isn't everything BDC with extra steps? Like, you're just adding another step into it.
Touche.
Yeah.
We did compensate for the bullet drop, yes.
It's like, sorry, this one's just a better version of that, you know?
Agreed.
Valid point. Yeah, no, like, I remember my first long-range scope was a loophole Mark, what was it, Mark 4, 3.5 to 10?
That's Mark 4, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. I tried to buy some of those on the day.
That was like which old one? School.
Mark 4, it's 3.5 to 10.
Yeah.
Had the illumination up on the.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was like my first long range scope. And I remember back then, you know, it was like M1 turrets were a quarter minutes, M2 was half, and M3 was one with a BDC style.
Yeah.
That was a big debate.
What was your. We might already ask this. We've talked about so much shit now. I can't remember.
LMTMWS.
Huh?
LMTMWS.
Oh, your first long range rifle?
Yeah.
But the first was in Springfield M1A, iron sights.
Oh, this guy.
Of course.
That was my first.
What stock on it?
Wood.
Yeah.
So I bought it with wood, and then...
of course he loves 308.
Dude, yeah.
Dude, you're like, you are 308. Like, yes. You're the personification of 308.
I love it, man. Like, I probably still have more hits with 308 than any other caliber at distance.
So does America and all the fucking wars. So every, 308 is
like beating the code. Yeah. What's up?
Two world wars.
Well, 308 right there. Yeah, no, it was...
Ask them people in Gaza Strip how they feel about 308. I bet they don't like it too much, do they?
Yeah. No, you're talking about rifles that you sold. I sold that rifle years ago. I wish I still had it.
I know. I keep, there's a couple rifles. Well, a couple of them got stolen. But there's a couple like I sold off. Because at the time, you're just like, I want to upgrade it.
Yeah.
Fuck this piece of shit.
That was me too.
Thinking back on it, I'm like, I wish I fucking kept this thing. The first thing I cut my teeth on when I would call... long range shooting, like with intent on like trying to learn things, was a fucking single shot 223 that would shoot. Wow. That would shoot a 75 grain Hornady's. I didn't remember, it might have been TAP. Fucking amazingly. Fuck yeah. Amazingly. I don't even remember where I got the TAP from.
Single it wasn't available. Shot.
It wasn't available in stores. I think I had a company or somebody I was buying it from. That was back when you couldn't get TAP in stores. Single shot at 400 yards. This is like my first, like major accomplishment for myself was I took this thing and I shot a like a silver dollar size group at a 400 yards.
Nice.
I'm just like, I'm a fucking sniper.
That is awesome.
And then I started,
is this before or after the Chris Kyle movie came out?
This is way before. Oh, yeah. I'm kind of old. The mil dots, I don't even remember what scope. It was some cheap piece of shit, but it had a mil dot reticle. And I knew enough back then to know it was second focal plane scope. I knew I had to be on max magnification in order to use the mil dot, and I had to be a mil dot cheat sheet. And that's
nice.
How, like, I remember going to my dad's, I was like, I'm going to shoot long range. I'm going to shoot over there to that hill. And it's like 450 yards. He's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, hang on. So I'm fucking looking through my scope, getting real steady and everything
that's
else.
Awesome.
And I'm looking at my chart. And that's about so and so yards. And third shot, I zinged her in there. And I'm like, I am a sniper.
I told you.
It reminds me of all the movies just where it's like, oh, he's shooting a mile away, and like,
yes,
it's like,
oh,
this is like with this right here.
Yes, Mark Wahlberg on a can of stew, yeah. First shot, in fact, yes.
Yeah,
I mean, that's basically who I thought I was back then.
Yeah, but movie, you know, was fucking sick.
That was for the time.
See, you like, know, grow up wanting to be Mark Wahlberg, but now that I'm older, I want to be the old man with the shovels.
Like, hell yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, no. Yeah, I guess you're right. When you paint the picture, yeah, I'm a 308.
I mean, it really seems
from
like
from way back.
Yeah.
Yeah, way back.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm curious now is, like, what grail rifles, like, what would be your holy grail rifle? Something like the one gun, if you could own it, no matter the cost.
Yeah, that's a good question. Really, Barrett just released that new ELR MRAD.
That would be your top?
Yeah, right now that's probably, yeah. Like, I've been around the machine guns. Like,
is that the one we have?
No, we just have the Mark 22.
Oh.
Yeah, no, this is the new, like, 416 Barrett.
Ah.
So that one's got my attention.
Right. The Tannodized Leopold. I just want the goddamn scope.
Yeah, same here.
Fuck the gun.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what's coming to mind. There, yeah.
So you're not big into like collectible or, you know, things like that. You just want
a little bit with the knight stuff. I get into knight's armor. Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, I'm into that.
How many knights do you have?
Several. I don't know.
Okay. I know the 6.5 and then the.
Yeah, I probably got maybe six.
Okay.
And then I got some suppressors and stuff. So like, I get into the knight's armament stuff. There's some a Mark 11 Mod Zero actually. Now that I think about it, I'd put that with a can. That would be,
yeah.
That's a grail rifle.
You're talking outside.
That's the one we have at the shop.
What's that?
Knight's armor, the long suppressor 308.
Oh, you have one?
Our boss man does. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Combat deployed.
Okay. See, now you're speaking my language.
We have some things to show you.
So that probably be.
Yeah, those are cool.
I get into that kind of stuff.
Is the one in the case or
no? It's the one that's it's the black guy, old Vero Beach.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That's the one.
Yes.
Mark 13 would be on the to do list one day.
Like Mod 5, which configuration?
I like mod. I really like the Mod 7 actually, yeah. In the AI like pistol grip.
Yeah.
Deal. But definitely the old school. What is it? Mod 0 maybe? Kind of like old school. Get into that. Yeah, those are the ones that are coming to mind. But yeah, that ELR right there that they just released or whatever, 416 Barrett, that one, I think that'd be fun.
36-inch barrel.
I'm not.
Yeah, that rig is no joke.
Fucking battle tank. Like, that's literally, they just pulled the cannon out of the turret. Like, out of the battle tank. Like,
I know, you 360 no-scope people with that, right?
I just don't.
You know, I think back on my goal of shooting a mile. All right, cool, we did that, but now we could go two.
So what is the furthest you've shot, actually?
300 PRC.
The furthest I have hit is right at 2,600. But I was like probably 1 for 20 with my 300 PRC. The furthest on my 30-inch circle, the furthest I've had consistent hits would be right at 2,200, which is about a mile and a quarter.
Yeah.
That one, I was pretty pumped that day. Yeah.
In your mind, do you have an opinion on the maximum allowable target size for ELR?
Yeah, I do. I definitely do.
What, is it 30-inch circle? Is that it?
So I like to shoot practical targets.
Is not it, would not you, 4x8 sheets of metal?
No.
I mean, what's practical? 1 mm away?
No. You know, so a 30-inch circle at 2,200 is about 1.5.
Right.
But to me, that's probably in the ballpark. Yeah. Yes, you're kind of asking maybe two different things here. So the four by eight sheet, I don't get into that. That's not the kind of shooting that I like.
Yeah,
right.
And then what is practical?
We make fun of that here.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I wasn't sure what you were setting me up on.
Oh no, we definitely talk a lot of shit about AOR shooters.
When you get into the point where it's literally just a probability game.
On the 87 try, we finally hit this 4x8 sheet at 14,000 yards, and it was literally like,
yeah,
it's literally. You're not long range shooting. You're literally calling in ordnance, and you're just hoping that that particular one is hitting the right velocity, you know, to end up right here. And you're just hoping that like this, there's no fucking possible way you could ever know what kind of wind to hold for. You're just kind of guessing wildly, and then hoping that within this, your SD of one is still like 100 fucking yards at this range we're trying to shoot at. It's like, at some point, it's just like it becomes uninteresting to me. And that like we're kind of nearing those points because it's no longer about the skill of the shooter or the quality of the ammo. Even though like I have no doubt the skill of the shooter is very high. The quality of the ammo is very high. The fucking cartridges are very high. But they're pushing them out to such ranges where it doesn't matter how fucking good it is. It's literally just a... numbers game, whether or not we land on this fucking target at such ranges.
Well, the scientific thing is science always has to be repeatable.
Yes.
And so, again, when you're just literally playing in like this probability game of if I launch 100 of these and hopefully it lands, it's like if you play that out, eventually one person's going to do it and they're the king of it. Like, what?
Like, well, that's like
king of 4.9 miles. What are we up to now?
It's far.
I know it's over, it's going to be 4.5-5 miles at this point, isn't it?
I want to say it's probably in the ballpark of 3. But, you know, I think
we beat 4 miles a long time ago, didn't they?
Really?
Yeah.
Am I just imagining this shit?
Why don't I mean, who? Except,
right.
Like there's no governing body.
What rounds are we saying we defeated this?
Last year was 4.4.
Wow. Okay.
It's one of those things that like we usually read these and make fun of these people because there's no telling how much time and money this shit. And it's like on the 87th try, we finally landed in this massive target because. Technically speaking, there's always a drone shot
that's way too long. So everyone knows like,
this is how far away it is.
It's a cool accomplishment. Definitely, you know, I would love to do that. But I think about myself, like, I want to be repeatable.
Yes.
I want to have a hit percentage greater than 1 out of 100.
Right, yeah.
So.
And I mean, just think about how much that shit costs on some of those cartridges that are running. And fuck that shit. just like you said, if it's not repeatable... I can't repeat it any whatsoever other than like 1 out of 100 tries. And it's still kind of a fucking shit show if I hit the target even still then. That's just not.
Yeah.
It doesn't tickle my fancy whatsoever.
Like if just, I go out and shoot with my buddies, can I do this?
Yes.
Or are they just going to laugh?
Right.
You know, that's, I don't know. You ask about target size. I guess I never thought about that one. I like shooting that 30 inch circle because it's challenging but hittable.
Right.
At the distances I shoot.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the minute. As it pertains to long, extended long-range shootings, the minute your target, really this can be said about any range, if you really want to look deep into it, the minute your target is statistically smaller than the capability of your ammo,
what are you trying to say?
Performing within like that velocity range. It's kind of stupid, in my opinion. Like,
it's good that certain people have like they caught that autism to chase that down because it's like, in a sense, right? It does tread ground.
Yes, it probably does
for everybody else down the road. Sure.
It probably does push us into different realms of exploration and equipment. Thus, probably propels some new equipment on our side.
Yep,
and I'm sure, I would hope that somebody is recording this shit extensively. Programming and into how they develop ballistic programs and everything else. Like I would hope somebody.
That's what's crazy. That I'm reading here on this,
something cool is coming.
On this one shot, 4.4 miles. You know, the bullet left the rifle at 3,300, and it's 689 feet per second when it hit the target.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's hitting the target at the same velocity a 308 comes out of a barrel.
roughly.
Oh man, tough crowd. Dang.
We. It's not so much that I'm really indifferent about the 308. I just love shitting on it because I know it upsets so many people.
That is very fair.
They get so mad about it. I'm just like,
that is fair.
Do you see me? What's laughing? Funny is
you probably own more 308s than anybody
potentially.
Else. Yeah.
Cannot confirm nor deny. That's definitely a cool accomplishment. Just not my cup of tea. I want to be repeatable.
Yeah. 100%. Did it say how many shots it took? Is this the one we were talking about last where it's like 87 shots or some ridiculous shit like that? Does it talk about trajectory, like how far up it goes and all this shit? Like you're 4 point whatever miles, and you know, apparently they're shooting a fucking amazing cartridge. You said 4,300 feet per second?
It was like a custom 416 barrel.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like something like that. So even I'm sure the BC of that projectile is just unfathomable.
Huge, yeah.
And going at that velocity and everything else, I'm sure it's like, technically speaking, that is a really flat shooting cartridge. But you have to think about to take a shot at 4.4 miles. The amount of fucking drop that's in that.
Okay, it hit on the 69th shot.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Scroll back up to the rifle.
That seems fixed. 69, really?
Yeah, so you can look at the scope, canted on the rifle, plus they've got and one of the prism deals.
TACOM, Charlie TACOM. Isn't it?
Is that not two? Yeah, that is. Is it not two prism?
It kind of looks like it. That is ridiculous.
That's wild.
That's fucking ridiculous. So,
and they said it required a team. So they had the shooters off the side, and then they had other people like adjusting the rifle.
Yes. It's fucking ridiculous. Wow. Like what it takes to do something like that. But you think about it, like even at that velocity, I've no doubt that bullet's fucking crazy and everything else. Like the amount of wind gradients you have to shoot through.
Oh, brother.
Like how the fuck do you even.
Plus, like.
What did you put your Kestrel on like a fucking 100-foot pole and just reach it up, like put it up there and like.
Do you even try at that point? Or are you just sending it and then just.
Well, you just. What I would do, okay, if I'm doing this tomorrow. Which is definitely going to result
in doing this tomorrow.
187 misses. No, definitely not. But I would like take your wind reading on the ground, and I would wait for the day where I know for a fact the wind's going to be blowing one solid direction. I'd want to do it in the exact perfect location,
yep.
Where I'm not going to get a bunch of crazy winds. And I would literally just let's call up our friend who's a pilot and let's ask him some questions about wind gradients because basically. Whatever you're reading
What's
on the ground.
What's the jet stream doing today?
Exactly. By the time it goes through all of that, you're probably going to take your like ground wind reading and times it by like 50.
Yep.
You know, or something crazy. Yep. Like, I don't even know how the fuck you even get enough. If it is a crazy, like say it's a 10 mile an hour wind on the ground and you're shooting that far. I don't know what the fuck, like off the top of my head, I can't do that kind of math. But it has to be something quite ridiculous. It translates to soaring through those kind of wind grades. Isn't it, off the top of my head again, what is it like every so many feet you go up a certain amount of percentage, like 15, 30 and all this other bullshit? It's something crazy.
Wow.
The higher you go up, the more it amplifies, if you will.
We need Sean here.
We need Sean here to tell us about the wind gradients. But like, how do you even fucking have enough shit your scope to even dial for any kind of crazy wind.
Right.
Or you just have to wait for no fucking wind on the ground, knowing that you're going to be shooting through so many wind gradients.
For every mile per hour of wind, they had to aim 26 feet further to the left of the target.
Wow.
Jesus.
So like, they're not even aiming at the target. They're just aiming at reference points. No, but another thing is they painted a circle on it. An 80-inch circle was drawn to make the equivocation that if they hit the target, they were a 1 MOA shooter.
That's so stupid.
Wow.
That's stupid. I'm not impressed. It's like,
but like if it was set up for you, if it was like 4.5 miles, like it's ready to go, you wouldn't go hit the trigger.
Oh, of course I would.
100%.
Just to fucking shoot the gun. Like it's. But again,
what's also interesting is they have to use thin metal to actually show the hit.
Wow. Yeah.
They can't even use like a.
Yeah, you're fucking. It's literally like shooting a 308 at 1,000 yards. It's literally dropping in like that.
That actually is very true.
Well, that's what they're talking about is they basically use audio spotting to like triangulate because they can't even tell where the hits are.
Right.
The cool thing about that though, you think about the value. So, do I want to go shoot 4 miles? No, but that setup and that caliber and the scope and all the technology there will make me way more consistent at a mile and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Or like 2 miles.
You would think that if you're going to even go attempt 4 miles, that a mile should be fucking capable.
Exactly. Yeah, so.
You would think.
Well, these people, this group of people, I guess their whole shtick is they one of the groups, they do boutique long range shooting experiences out of Jackson Hole.
Oh no!
So really? They take uppity white people shooting.
Really?
So it's like, it sounds like a bunch of people who like long range who are just like, fuck it, let's go do this.
Wow. Right. So let's call in ordnance.
It seems slightly less serious, so I'm going to give them like 3 extra points. But.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
because if you're just doing it, like, fuck it, let's just do this thing.
Send it.
But if like you're like, oh, I'm the god of snipers, because I.
Oh, I would definitely talk lots of shit if I ever did that.
Oh, you shot a mile? Yeah, I've shot 4.
They even got a signed affidavit of it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That is pretty cool.
So, enough of this crazy talk. If you don't mind discussing, what are your hopes and plans for the future of the channel? Like, are there some certain things that you haven't started exploring yet that you would like to get into? Like, are you going to change up any? Are you going to explore different alternative shoot, like, are you gonna start shooting pistols tomorrow? Because if not, we just probably can't be friends anymore.
That's a great question. So I'm constantly reading the comments. I get a lot of messages on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I think I would answer the question by saying I want to produce content that people are interested in watching, and I judge that based on the feedback that I'm getting. Yeah. So it's a very probably vague and political answer.
It's also the truth.
Yeah, in the short term, I see myself continuing with the long range game because it's successful and the channel's growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's getting positive feedback.
Yep.
Longer term, I enjoy shooting the AR, so I definitely want to keep putting out AR content. And I do see myself getting into pistols down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the barrier there is I'm not a great pistol shooter, so I got to tune myself up before I do that.
News flash. I'm sure you know this. Most people out there watching your videos, most people out there in the world probably aren't good pistol shooters either.
You're right.
So, I mean, that's
it's hard. Okay.
So let me. We'll have to revisit this once you kind of get more into pistol shooting. Because my personal opinion, you know, I've gone through all these different realms of shooting and everything else. As it pertains to like just sitting behind a bench and shooting tiny groups at 100 yards, I feel after I explored pistol shooting and learned some things, I'm not saying I'm fucking great. I can shoot tiny groups with a pistol, but I can't shoot them fast.
Nope.
Not saying I'm great, but I did learn like your bare essentials to accurately shoot a pistol. I learned some more bare essentials on running an AR-15 platform. The minute I was able to take some things that I learned from each one of them and then transfer that back into the rifle platform off of a bipod,
yeah, you're better off.
Bag, I feel like it makes you a better shooter.
Yep.
That's just my personal opinion. Because there's a lot of things that if you're just running super heavy bolt action rifles, I call that the cheat code.
Because
it'll hide a bunch of imperfections. And I think, you know.
With a super light trigger.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
When you actually go out and explore these different platforms and you learn how to control that recoil, and then you kind of, in my opinion, you kind of take all those things and put it together and apply that to your shooting discipline, it'll make you a better shooter. It'll be interesting to see.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see your take on pistol shooting. And my opinion, you should carry us, the YouTube watchers and listeners, along with your journey exploring how to accurately, or whatever you end up doing with a pistol.
I know.
It's like, super interesting.
I think one of the things that folks find value in or enjoy about my channel is just I'm a regular guy,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I intend to keep doing. So I intend to keep being a regular guy that enjoys shooting and bringing the viewer along for that experience. So that's my plan for forever of the channel,
right?
Wherever I go. So say we get into pistols, yeah. That's what I would do. Regular guy, we're going to go learn to shoot pistols.
You better just get ready for the hate when you get into pistols, because that is a fucking atrocious community.
I'm telling you, I love the hate. It's it's pretty fun. You know, it's, that's your opinion, man. Cool. Sounds good. You know, make a video and teach me.
Right.
No, you just tell them that they're epistemologically wrong. their foundations are just, they're not there.
You know, and actually, to be fair, you know, some of the, I have learned from the haters.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the delivery is a little bit rough, but there have been some very good comments where I'm like, oh, they actually do have a good point.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna, nowadays I don't read a lot of stuff, but I still do, because again, you get a lot of,
he gets enough hate from me.
Yeah, I mean, there again, I say this all the time, there's nothing you can fucking say in that comments that I haven't said to myself 12 times worse over. I'm my own harsh critic.
Yep.
And I think that's what makes me good at the things I am good at, is because I am my own harsh critic. I'm always trying to be better.
You gotta be better.
But there are certain things you can learn about them comments. Like, sometimes people are spot on. Like, you were fucking up, or you were doing this. But I don't know if you captured this. There's another YouTuber out there that's... he tried to big dog you on one of your videos, and I found it quite hilarious. I'll have to point it out to you. I'm not going to say it in this video, because he probably listens. He probably hates me.
Okay, here's a question.
He tried to big dog you, though.
Is the
it's jealousy. I guarantee you that's all it is. But
how do you feel about those comments that are... like, you get the criticism, but then they're actually really funny?
Oh,
you're just like, fuck, that guy nailed it.
Fuck that guy.
Does he know me or something? Holy shit. Like,
if that was my buddy, we'd get a good laugh.
Long term on the channel, though, do you see yourself staying more like concepts and theory or more gear reviews? Like, is there one you prefer?
Right now, I love the concepts and theories and the instructional type.
Yeah.
I would like to do gear reviews down the road. I want to make sure I'm careful with how I do gear reviews, that, you know, that I can be a trusted place to go for the information. So that's why I've been kind of slow to get into it, is I want to establish some street cred with these type of videos before I get into that. So if you just come out of nowhere and you're like, I'm going to review this product, what background do you have?
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be like, who the fuck are you?
Right, versus if you establish
this
yourself.
This is something we talk about a lot. Like, well, we have talked about a lot. We probably don't talk about it much anymore. Like, when you come out with certain videos talking about certain things, and like, you may be a local legend, like you may be known as the guy, the go-to guy about all things this, but as far as internet land, these fucking people don't know who you are. They have no clue. I think that's where if you know what the fuck you're talking about, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've established yourself as so-and-so. I don't think you owe these fucking people anything. If you actually know what you're doing and you're able... Obviously, you're really good at conveying your point. If you're able to convey your point in a way that makes sense and people can digest and they actually know you know what you're talking about, I think you'd be just fine. I think you can be just fine anyways. I mean,
my thoughts, that's where I'm at right now. I want to build that street cred, build the audience, and build that trust through the concept type videos, through the comparisons, before we move into a straight up gear review.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know.
What prevents its challenges, so earlier you talked about, you know, the length of your videos, and we were saying, like, versus other content creators, and it seems like most GunTubers have kind of gone to this place where they're, like, trying to be, like, Hollywood cinematographers. Everybody thinks they're Chris Nolan running around, and it's like, it's not about the gun, it's about, like, look how cool I am shooting this gun.
Yeah.
And that's where I don't watch a lot of, I grew up watching gun YouTube, and there's really very few channels that I do watch, because it's like, I don't want to see you pretending to be cool.
Yep.
And the same thing with gear reviews is it's like they're almost so formulaic at this point where it's like I'm basically going to read you the spec sheet off the website while unboxing this.
Yeah.
And then be like, yeah, that shoot's good. Yep. Or, ooh, I just don't like this. And half the people with scopes don't know what they're talking about. No,
I would say, you know, like, if I'm not creating content, I'm watching content in this space on YouTube. So I consume a lot of this stuff. And then my goal with my channel is to make sure I'm hitting a unique niche. And so far, I think we're doing that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no, you 100% are. I mean, I've noticed kind of the audience that I've had people like forward me you over the last however many months. And it's like, it's kind of like that AR person who is like, they're like curious about long range. And like, you're getting a very specific demographic. And it's all like that same type of my friend who always send me your videos. So I always find that interesting.
Yep.
But yeah, it's kind of... It is kind of weird comparing to most GunTube because
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Did you see... Now, I know we talked about the video, the one that picked up a lot of traction. Did you see any correlation, or have you actually looked at it, in your semi-auto content with the popularity of 6R growing?
Yeah, so...
Not necessarily...
Funny question.
Not necessarily... Oh, like, really, really deep diving into your comments and everything else... Not necessarily like 6R content, because we've talked about this at damn near nauseam. Like, we've had great success with 6R content. You've seen good success with 6R content. I'm just saying, like, I feel as if 6R picked up where Valkyrie has started, like, starting to fire, mm-hmm. like AR shooters who have basically been mag dumped into burbs because it's cool. And then now they're learning a few more things. They're going to expand their horizons, like getting out a little bit for the range. Where that died off, because everybody, let's be honest, the fucking Valkyrie was a tragedy. Six Arc picked up, and it was relatively successful. Oh, it still is. It seems as if we're propelling, like, we're getting out of mag dumping into burbs, and these guys are starting to, like, take their platforms a little bit further.
Yep.
Did you see any correlation with the success of your overall audience? Like, did you see any noticeable difference in your, I don't know what you'd call that, customer base, clientele?
Oh, yeah.
Which,
for
your
sure.
Viewer base, and with the popularity of Six Arc rising, like, because to me, you can, a lot of the times you can read comments and you can just, we should do this sometime. Or maybe you should do this. Like, looking at comments, try to guess what rifle they shoot. Because I guarantee you, like, I can guess who the AR, it's pretty easy most of the time to guess who the AR shooters are, who the bow gun guys are, like the boomers and all that kind of stuff. I'm just curious, like, how technology gets, like, it opens up a new realm or world to these certain people that have been doing certain things. Like, the red dot shooters are now tired of shooting red dots and still at 25 yards. Now they're expanding their horizons and shooting long range.
I can't say I've memorized the stats in all of my videos, but I would say the Six Arc, I got into Six Arc because of the comments and the messages. So prior to releasing a Six Arc video, I got so many. Like, Six Arc was one of, it's like Six Arc and 7PRC, basically the only calibers people were asking me to shoot. So a lot of demand, I felt like.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. That so many folks, when I started putting out these videos, were saying, get a Six Arc, shoot a Six Arc, tons. So then I put out the Six Arc, and then on the backside of YouTube, you can see all the metrics for how your video is performing. And comments are great, and reading those are awesome, but you can see how many folks have subscribed to your channel based on that video. And the Six Arcs are definitely on the top end of that. Again, I can't quote the exact numbers,
right.
but definitely versus like some of the Battle Zero type stuff, some of the red dot type stuff that you got on the screen there. The Six Arc stuff comes out of the gate and does very strong.
I think it's because John's people are getting more interested in long range shooting. And let's be honest for a moment here.
Yeah.
As it pertains to fighting rifle, would you rather fight someone far away or up close?
Yep.
I'd rather just shoot them far away.
I've been unable to explain it. I think it like the like because it, maybe it stems from the military and cool kid communities.
That definitely
because
helped
the amount of people have turned.
I guarantee.
Like, don't build a Six Arc. You don't need one because they're like, oh, I just need a Six Arc, and you're like, what are you going to do with it? And it's like, I'm going to train with it. It's like, what does that mean? Like,
but have you ever shot a 5.56 at distance?
Well, that's what I ask people because they're like they're wanting to get a Six Arc because that's what the new thing. But it's like they don't plan on shooting it past 100 yards, and it's just like no,
you don't need that.
Dude. It's gonna just be a complete pain in your ass. Like, don't do that.
Yep.
Right.
But it seems like it. All I can think of is it stems from the fact that it was like, oh, this is a military special cool kid group developed around, and then you get people who are like, oh, I need the special cool kid military developed thing. But
man, I think.
But I say buy them fucking Six Arcs. All it's going to do is promote more companies making more Six Arcs.
Well, okay, I say now, yes.
Yeah. Back when we couldn't get ammo, leave that shit alone.
Exactly.
At least up for us.
I remember people like, I'm just really getting the itch on building one. And I'm like, what's your use case? It's just, I don't know. Like, okay, probably no. Don't do that.
Yeah, I think a fair question there is, you know, again, I'm target shooter based, would be, what are you doing with 5.56, and where is it underperforming for you?
Right. What is your favorite barrel length in 5.56?
14.5.
14.5?
Yeah.
I'd have to agree with that one.
Yeah. I like, as you can see on my videos, the shorter the barrel, the more I like it.
Right.
But 5.56, I think 14.5 is very maneuverable with a suppressor on it. It's capable out to distance. I'm a fan.
I kind of think in a semi-auto platform, my favorite Six Arc is 14.5.
Yeah.
Awesome. I really think that's my favorite. But it's also like, that's my favorite gun. My favorite semi-auto. I would never say that to my bolt gun, but my 22 Creed. But
now 14.5, it's maneuverable, suppressed, but still gives you enough to get out to distance.
I agree with that. I think 14.5 is good. It'll probably be my favorite 22 Arc as well. Who knows?
You think about 14.5, man. And earlier you made a comment around what is a DMR. And I actually have a video loosely around that concept 556 versus 308. And a lot of comments there around 14 and a half. And that's not a DMR rifle. You can't shoot at the distance with it.
We toyed around with that once, and we got some very interesting people in the comments who were
actually people.
No, like internet legends who were just like, no, the technical definition from this unit when they started with this and then the recce rifle and then it stemmed out of this DMR program. Oh, like,
touche.
And you're just like, you're a wolf. Like, you're hilarious. Like, I love reading your comment, but holy shit, you just like spazzed out the comment like wrote like paragraphs in a YouTube comment.
Do you have any, sorry to cut you off.
Right. You're fine.
Do you have any, serial haters?
I can't think of any serial.
That just like sticks out in your mind. Like, it's just always there being a fucking hater.
I don't recall any serial haters. I definitely have serial supporters, which is awesome.
We have, yes, we have our serial supporters.
I can't think of any.
But I fucking, he's going to listen to this. I love our serial hater. You know what I'm talking about, John. He always, like, he doesn't watch every week, but it's almost like he waits.
Then binges.
And then binge watches, and he'll go through that. Like, you'll just randomly, he'll go comment on all the fucking videos, just all this fucking hate. I love reading it because it's fucking hilarious. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we talk about him all the time. Yeah, yeah. And that's probably why he does it.
So, I definitely, I don't know that it's, I don't think serial hate is the term for it, but I definitely have users that are clearly watching back to back to back.
Does that not trip you out?
It's pretty funny.
Do you have the YouTube app, like yeah. the creator app?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I get emails, and I'm constantly in my emails for work.
Yeah.
And when you just like see like so-and-so reply to your video, so-and-so reply to your video. And I'm a huge, like, I'm a YouTube degenerate. I'm like always watching YouTube, like everything all the time. AirPod in the ear. And you're just like watching this guy. You're just like, dude, like you're on like a 6-hour binge. Like, what the hell is going on? I
appreciate the support.
Oh, no, 100%. Sure. But you're like surely the you don't have anything better to do? Like, it trips me out. Like, I get weirded out by it.
And I try to respond to as many as I can. I'm like, so do I respond to all of those? Or do I just respond to one or two of them? Or
you, okay, so been doing that type of shit, like responding to questions for years. Just do what you can.
You're right. Yeah, that's what I try to do.
That's, but I'll tell you this right now. Once you're known as the nice guy who responds and answers questions and everything else, the minute you stop doing it to certain individuals, like what they come to expect out of you, you're the fucking asshole.
Well, I
just saying, that will happen.
Definitely, now that the channel is growing and I'm getting more comments, it's and Instagram messages, it's hard to keep up with all of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, people, sure. It's unmanageable. Like,
yeah,
it's only going to get worse.
I have a full-time job I have to balance, so it's...
Barrel twist recommendations, caliber recommendations, optic recommendations are probably like the most asked questions I get all the time.
No, for me, those are tough to answer because I haven't tried everything in the industry. So
that's what I always tell people. It's like, I know what I like.
I've had good luck with this. You
know, I know what I've used and what I liked, but it's a fucking crazy market out there. Yep. I mean, you know, some questions are way easy to answer and some of them are very fucking tough to answer. But
typically, if you don't like it, you can sell it and buy something else.
Yep. You know, buy, sell, trade groups on Facebook, on Optics.
Yep.
Can be your friend.
Yep.
Also, sometimes it can be your worst nightmare.
Yeah, I got shafted earlier this year. You just got to watch for that stuff. Definitely there are the, I don't know, you know, to your original point, serial commenters, definitely appreciate the serial supporters.
I love the fact when people get in our comments and they join in on the nitpicking and having fun. Yeah. I fucking love that because like we, you know, that's part of kind of what we do is we talk a lot of shit, because it's literally who we are. Like we're just trying to stay true to who we are. We talk shit and have fun.
Oh, it's fun.
But also we're gonna talk about cool things. Well, things we think are cool. We're gonna talk shit. I love it when the people get in there. It's like if I do something, like my favorite ones are like, let's play a drink game. Every time Wade says this, we're gonna take a drink. Like they point out like my little flaws, which is fucking hilarious. I love it when they interact that way. The people that The serial haters, again, there's not many of the serial haters. There's one in particular. I fucking love it when he comments because he's quite hilarious. But he, you can tell he does not like us whatsoever. I just find it fucking hilarious. But, you know, I don't know. It doesn't matter what the fuck they say. I'm never going to let it like bother me to a point. But I am going to read them and I am going to take things with, you know, into consideration, if you will.
I pissed a bunch of people off for a while because it's going really hard on Taylor Swift stuff.
Yeah, a lot of our followers really don't care much for Taylor Swift, or they're just lying and they like Taylor Swift.
So before
that's probably the case.
Before we wrap up, what is the official Mountains Mullets America opinion on Taylor Swift?
I'm a huge fan, actually. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm
1980 lover. 1989 era right here.
Hell Jesus Christ.
That's what's up.
She's a skank.
Oh, God. He has his friendship. Look at his mic. He has a little Wade Hart's T-Swift friendship bracelet.
I might have just earned some haters right there, but...
No, it's fine.
I think it's one of those things.
I kept overdoing it on purpose just to piss people off.
There was one where he talked about it for like a fucking hour. I think, again, it's going back to those comments where it's fun.
Yeah.
I think nowadays it's every fucking week I get at least anywhere from... Could be 3, it could be 50 memes about Taylor Swift. And they're always like, show this to Fitzy. Or there's people like, I want to see a picture of Fitzy. Like, that's all that awesome. Shit I find hilarious. And again, it's like this little, it's mostly like this little game. Like, I guarantee you, most of those fuckers are listening to Taylor Swift.
It's really interesting, like, how you just build a community. Like, you just like put in the work. I mean, obviously, you know what it's like to just get to put a lot of effort actually into doing something. Yep. And then, like, there's just people who want to talk about it and share the interest. It's kind of fascinating.
Oh, we're not done yet. I have a few more questions. Jesus Christ, I know it's getting late, but that's a sign of things that people don't... I feel, well, some people might, but until they actually try to put together, like, content and everything else, that's a sign that goes unseen and everything else. That's why, like, even, like, the douchiest gun-tuber... who, like, very highly edited content and everything else, I still have some level of respect for them, even if I don't care for anything they're saying, because of the drive and the hustle I know it takes to put in, like, to produce this. So on average, let's say, well, maybe you don't have an average, but let's just say average day, you have a concept, you have, like, a list of concepts, you have everything in your head, like, how do you...
Yeah. My notes app in the phone.
So you have a notes app. Okay, I have a concept. I want to do such and such a video. Mm-hmm. Average time frame. How long does it take you to go out in? Mm. Say everything goes smoothly.
Mm.
How long does it take you to go out and shoot a video?
Yep.
I'm assuming there's some sort of editing taking place. Upload and edit and then publish. How much work are we putting in?
This is the side of it I was not prepared for. So I'm a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like you watch my videos, I've got the scope camera going. I've got the downrange GoPro. I've got 2 iPhones going. So to film a video, so say one of these 20 to 30-minute videos, you're looking at a day, a solid day, from like 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 or 6 o'clock at night.
That's just filming.
Yeah, because, you know, every one of those scenes, I have to run down and reset the GoPro and then come, you know, it's 1,000 yards or a mile down there on my four-wheeler just by myself, shoot it, go back down, turn it off, change the batteries out, whatever. So you're looking at a solid day of the actual shooting piece, which is the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
And then editing-wise, I actually have a pretty good process down now. You know, you're probably looking, I'm going to ballpark 4-ish hours on the editing side.
And then your upload, like basically hit upload.
Yeah, and then an hour of description, putting the time slots into the video and that kind of stuff. So
you're in it, you're a long-ass day of shooting content and actually shooting your rifle and everything else, typically. This is a non-multi-tiered video. Like, this is just a simple video.
Oh, it's very simple.
Full day of shooting.
15 hours, probably pretty
literal
easy.
Shooting.
Yep.
Then, let's just say you're going to... You're probably going to burn up close to a full day of editing and posting and everything else preparing. So that's 2 days worth of work of your time. So I know those sweet YouTube gods are sending you tons of money. How much money are you making on this?
Not much.
There you go.
Not as much as many people, at least people close to me think.
Right.
Folks are like, oh man, you got a YouTube channel, it's monetized, you know, you're killing it. I've had messages on Instagram, you know, man, like, are you full time? You know, did you give up your full-time job? And I'm like, man, we're not even probably breaking even.
Right.
So when it comes for like fuel to get to the range, a lot of the ammo I'm still, you know, I have to pay for myself. The gear I'm paying for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took a flight out to Texas. I'm going to put that like, so I'm trying to create like a legitimate maybe channel and everything, but no. No, right. Honestly, right it's, now, it's...
Yeah, it's a labor of love.
Yeah, I'm having a blast.
Now, the cool thing about what you're doing and everything else, you seem to really be enjoying it.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
The cool thing about it is like, you've found something you're good at, instructing. Well, I call it instructing and entertainment. Yeah. Like, you're really good at explaining everything that's going on. The cool thing about it is if you stick with it, it's eventually going to... potentially turn into a career.
Oh, the growth is happening.
Yeah. You know, yep. So, I mean, super exciting.
Yep. No, the growth is definitely happening. I will say, you know, with the exception of a couple months in the summer, every month this year has been better than the last. So, you know, November views, watch hours, subscribers, the money, November was the best one yet.
Now, do you... when you put together an idea based off the comments, do you like, if I see X amount of comments, I'm going to go ahead and do a video on it? Or do you just like, if I see, if this thing just really sticking out, people are just screaming about it, I'm going to go ahead and put together a video?
Yeah.
Do you ever,
go ahead.
Do you ever worry that when you're putting together a video, now that you know, there is some recognition and everything else, like your channel's obviously growing tremendously. Do you ever worry when you're hitting that upload button, you're like, God damn it.
Oh, for sure.
I hope this is good.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Because, like, I've been trying to create content that people are watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine line between putting out more of that content and not putting out too much of the same stuff.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah, because it's like, I suffer from the same thing, thinking, like, well, if I was ingesting this content,
mm-hmm.
I would want to know. Every fucking, I wouldn't want to deep dive this thing. Like, I'm a data person. I'm not like a, that one insignificant study shown that this works at this one particular time. That's good enough. Me, I'm just like, no, I'm fucking explore all the avenues, all the different zeros and everything else. It, you know, I don't think, I'm going to leave it at this. I don't think you're going to run out of autistic people anytime soon. the internet's full of them. I don't know if you're aware of it.
That's the way I am, you know, like, you know, nowadays YouTube is a place that people go first for information.
Yes, absolutely.
And I definitely want to be a source of that. So
I don't, you know, I know the struggles of like deciding how far to go with something is like, same thing with a podcast. Like a lot of this shit, I struggle. I have to physically make myself sit down. Like when we're doing a very information driven podcast about a particular subject, I have to make myself sit down and hit high points. Cause if.
Yes.
I feel as if sometimes, like, I probably go way too deep down a rabbit hole on something. And meanwhile, you have someone in the comments like, I fucking love this. Yep. It's like, oh, there's other people like me out there.
Yeah. And, you know, with the YouTube stats, you can see the average watch time and mm-hmm. where people drop off and stuff. And, yeah, the longer videos, people are watching them.
It's the same thing with, like, what prepared, I feel like it's the same thing. It's what prepared podcasts into the atmosphere is that long form. Basically allowed people to learn so much more shit through podcasts. I feel as if like we're probably, I could be totally fucking wrong here. I don't, who the fuck am I? We have a fucking tiny podcast. We're probably leading. I feel as if we're leading into a new realm of GunTube content where it's probably going to follow the same. Like we've had, I don't know, a good run of like the tabletop review shortened highly fucking, you know, which that shit's always going to be around. But I feel like we're probably moving into an era of more information, such as being shown by the popularity of your YouTube channel, which I hope so. Cause like if it's someone willing to put into work and they're actually giving you valuable content and simplifying it in terms for other people to understand and everything else, I'm all about it. Like I'm all about that. It's, you know, again,
you think about...
really awesome.
I can't quote all the numbers, but you think about gun ownership in America and you think about the AR sales in America. You know, we're on like record highs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of new people coming into this industry. Yep. And, you know, where are you going to go to learn about your AR?
Right.
YouTube.
Yep.
And hopefully there's instructional material there for them to consume. And, my goal is to do that.
And, you know, we're again, like I said, we're looking at like the berm shooters are now looking to expand their horizons into like new territory, which is like a natural progression to want to shoot further away
Yep.
Just as accurately as you can close up. So,
yep. You know, the other thing I look at is you look at matches, you look at the PRS series, two gun matches, they're just busting at the seams with people that want to shoot those matches.
Right.
So folks are wanting to learn to use their equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to do that is instructional material.
Yeah, I agree.
So
is that a good place for, how long have we been doing this?
Christ, wrap it up.
3.5 hours. I mean, I think it's only appropriate that we have him on for a long time. Like I said,
I've shed a pants for like 30 minutes.
You get someone in here that's like, again, that could nerd out and shit with me. We could make this a 7-hour podcast. I could talk forever about
all day
this
tomorrow.
Shit. Like, exactly.
this was the short form.
Yeah. Exactly. He said this. Is
we actually talk. We haven't been recording. This was just like a preliminary.
Oh, if you said that, I'd probably stab you in the neck with a pin.
That's awesome.
Well, anyways, look forward to doing more stuff with you. 100%. We certainly appreciate you coming out and coming on the podcast. Hopefully we'll get you back in here for some more content. We definitely want to record some 12-minute talks with you, like individualized questions and everything else. But
yeah, sure.
We certainly appreciate you making the trip. We love what you're doing on YouTube. Like I said, Mountains Mullets America. Is it America?
Yeah. America.
It'll be linked in the comments.
Yes. You know, if you listen to this podcast, you've heard me talk about it. This is the man. We're here. We appreciate you coming. It's been a great time. Great conversation, even though we could, you know, we haven't even like barely gotten into the realm of like equipment and stuff, shit like that. So maybe that's what we'll get into tomorrow.
No, I appreciate the invite. I know kind of one of the main things that people have asked me is like, what's my background? Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And this has been kind of a fun way to kind of air out some of that. And
right.
Those that are supporting you and supporting me will get a look behind the curtain.
You should have made up a story like, I can't tell you. Military career, I can't tell you. Yeah.
No, not that cool. Just a normal guy. But no, I appreciate the invite, and I'm glad to be here, and we'll, keep working together.
Hell yeah. Fitzy, any final closing thoughts?
Nope.
I like it.
Well, we appreciate y'all watching. We'll see you guys next time.